All right, we're teaching on living in supernatural, and we're in this particular teaching called One Thing is Needful. All right, we're here starting at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That know ye therefore that they which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let me ask you, are you of faith?
Yes.
Now notice verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
Then you're a child of Abraham.
Yes.
You see how he's taking you back to your spiritual roots now, not your natural, your spiritual roots. And then he says that the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel to Abraham. Now remember this, that for the most part, the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. It's not reasonable. A lady never had a child. She is now 90 years old. God saying, you're going to have a child. A man who is beyond the age of childbearing, God said, you're going to have a child. It's going to be your children. And that was the gospel. That's good news. But notice, to the natural mind, it wasn't reasonable. Look at verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful. I ask you to put in your Bible, believing Abraham. Because it starts to make sense as we get on down there, as you put believing. Okay, let's look at this now. We are in a place. Well, let me just take it bit by bit here. Praise God. You and I are born again. And the book of John says in John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that born again has to do with the Greek translation says, born from above. Born from above. You must be born from above. Now, just like you were born in the earth, the first birth, that Adam forfeited that one. Because God told Adam, don't eat of this tree, the day you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. In other words, death means separation from God. People just think because they're walking around, they're alive. But true death is separation from God. And because of Adam's sin, he separated himself from God. The first thing he did, he ran and hid from God. He didn't recognize him. And that happened in an instant. Instantly, a person spiritually is dead, separated from God. Now, all humanity comes from Adam, Adam and Eve. And so Adam and Eve are separated from God. So all humanity, David says, are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Born in it. See? Now, Adam put all of us in the pawn shop. In the pawn shop. Now, to get something out of the pawn shop, you've got to come and redeem it. Got it? And we have a redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. What did he give as a price to redeem us? He gave his blood, his life. Life is in the blood, said Leviticus. So he gave his whole life to redeem us. Money couldn't redeem you. You were too valuable. The price on you was too high. It had to take a life to redeem you. not a sinful life, because that sinful life wasn't the value. It took a life of God to redeem you. So God sent his own son. So he had to redeem you. Now, everybody that believes in him will be born again in the work that he did. Very simple. And a miracle takes place inside of us. That this body, actually something happens inside of it that a brand new person is put in here. Brand new. A person who had never cursed, never sinned, nothing. Inside. And guess what? Eventually the old body is going to fall away. And the only thing going to be left is who's in there. So if a person never got born again, then they'll be in there, but they'll be headed to a different destiny because they were never born again. But the church's job is to get the word of redemption to every person. So they'll have a choice because God won't force anybody. That's the way it is. That's the gospel. Just like that. Now, in this, you and I were born again, so we were born from above. And as we were born from above, we were born, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So you and I were born by the word of God. The word. The word, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, is seed. The seed is the word of God. So the word of God is seed. And if seed is planted, it'll bring forth what it says. So a cow produces a cow, a dog produces a dog, but God's seed produces God's. And when you preach things like this, some people think it's blasphemy. But Jesus wanted to show them over in John chapter 10. You better put it up there, please. John chapter 10, and look at verse 30. He said this. He says, well, I'll start at verse 30. He says that I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, many good works have I shown you of my Father. So which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him and said, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. And because you being a man, make yourself God? And Jesus answered them, wait a minute. Is it not written in the scriptures, in your law, it says you are God? Now he couldn't fight that. Watch Jesus what he said. If he called you God, unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be disannulled. It cannot be set aside. It cannot be canceled. If he said you're God, it cannot be canceled. Is somebody here? Now, I'm saying that because sometimes people don't understand and have linked the whole idea about their identity with where they are now in terms of this. Who we are has a lot to do with how much you can receive and how far you can go with God. That you're going to have to get the right identity. That's why I showed you the root here is going back to this seed of Abraham. He says, what inheritance always comes in proportion to your new identity. Inheritance always comes in proportion to your new identity. So you got to see yourself as God sees you. Now, I'm going to lay something on you. And this is no charge. I'm going to do this because I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to just do this. Once you get born again, you're born into something. It's called heritage. Heritage is what you've been born into. Let me show you heritage. Come on up there and give me Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and a thousand times of thousands. Keep going. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's what you've been born into. That's what you've been born into. Now, how do you get that in your life? You got to get it by faith. Because faith is the only way you can access your inheritance. It doesn't come any other way. You've got to get it by faith because you've got to receive it or believe it first and receive it into your heart and let God manifest it. So, this in no way are you competing with the world. Now, I'm saying on any of that basis, let's just take wisdom, for example. All right? The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verse 16, for we have the mind of Christ. Now, what mind is that? That is the same mind that created the universe. When Adam was in the garden, didn't God bring him animals to name them?
Yes.
Did he name them?
Yes.
Where did he get the wisdom from? See, I and the Father are one. See, you, the one thing that the devil fights in this earth is you coming back to perfect fellowship. Try to fellowship with somebody beneath you. You can't, it's hard for you to fellowship. I know they said dog is a man's best friend, but you need a person somewhere. You need some, a dog. Now I've seen some people, they were on a program making a dog, the dog was talking. Hello. I mean, this dog, I've never seen anything like that before, but it's hard to fellowship with somebody out of your class, something out of your class. God wants perfect fellowship. He wants his kids back. Are you following? But we can't listen and let the world tell us who we are. We can't let the systems of the world tell us how far we can go, what we can have. That's not their business. See, he didn't send you here to compete. He sent you here to dominate.
Hallelujah.
Jesus didn't come to fix a broken economic system. He came to replace it. The whole thing's broke. So my point to you is that you are different from folk who don't know God. And this doesn't mean that there are less than. What it means is that the attributes that you carry are superior. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are superior. Now, the thing of it is many times we have not known that, so we've kind of been victim of the same thing of people who don't know God. But this church is designed to raise your level of revelation of who you really are. So when you walk into a room, the devil will shut up just by you walking in. Now, I know people, when you talk like this, they say strange and ugly things about you. I don't care. All right. Now, in this, last time we left off with something, and I want to go back and I want to correct something because I said something that was wrong. Okay? And I want to correct it. When I say something wrong, and I say it especially publicly, I want to make sure that it's correct, because I got to stand before Jesus for what I said. Okay? Now, I want to show you what it is. It's not a big mistake, but nevertheless, it's a mistake. And when I found out what the mistake I made, it made better the argument that I was trying to make. When I found out it was wrong, I looked better than I looked when I said it. Okay? Can you follow that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 47 again. Okay? Y'all want to hear what this is? Let me see. Let me see what Pastor said. Well, you should have caught it. I'm going to show you to. You should have caught it. It was a harmless mistake that I made, because I had the wrong number. I don't know why I said that number. I knew what the Bible said, but I said the wrong number, and I'll correct that here. All right? Y'all think y'all got me now. Oh, see? But you should have caught this. And when you catch things like that, send me a note, make it very gentle and very kind and short. All right? Genesis chapter 47. All right. Now, what are we saying here? We're saying that God has given you a heritage, meaning there are some things that you've been born into. We're saying that you should live in the supernatural. You should live on a superior level of where you can come into a situation and the potential that you have of fixing that situation is unlimited, meaning that there is no matter in this earth that the church folk can't fix. Oh, Lord, I didn't get many amens on that. All right. Let's go back here to Genesis chapter 47. All right. Look what it says. And this, look at me for just a moment. This is when Joseph is now bringing his father down to Egypt. And he is bringing him down along with all the other folk. Now, it's a bunch of folk. Don't think it's just a few people. Because if you look at Abraham's household, he had 318 servants that were born in his own house. So somebody had a mama and a daddy in there somewhere. Am I right? So it could have been 15, 18, 2,000 people in Abraham's house. All right? Then you go to Isaac and you'll see that he had greater than Abraham. So he could have had 4,000. Now you go to Jacob. Each time they're passing on their inheritance to the sons. So now Jacob's got a bunch. The Bible says he's got two armies over there in Genesis 32. He's got two armies. So he's got a bunch of people. Now remember, Jacob sent his sons down to get some food for the famine. Remember that? And the food was going to last them 1 year, and they had to feed all the people. The food was in Egypt. Why was it in Egypt? Because the smartness of Egypt was not enough for them to avoid the famine. I'll say it again. The smartness of Egypt was not enough to cause them to avoid the effects of a famine. One more time. The smartness of Egypt was not enough to cause them to avoid the devastation of the famine that came in the world. Got it? Their smartness. I'm talking about no matter how big the casino's gonna get, they are not enough, because the smartness of the world is not gonna be enough to avoid trying to get this country back economically going. It can't be done, because the problem is not rooted in the natural. It's rooted in the spirit. And the only thing that can break the power of the spirit is the blessing. It's the only thing that can deal with the curse. And And the church has the blessing. And we're the one disposed to step up with wisdom and tell them how to do this. But the church has lost its identity. It's busy begging for money from the government. It's busy saying, oh, I don't like you. What are you, Baptist? Oh, I don't like you. What are you, Methodist? I don't like you. Look at the division that's coming in. How can you receive revelation in the midst of strife? You can't. What a trick of the devil. Am I preaching okay here? That casino is the best they got, but the only reason they're doing that is because you aren't coming up with nothing. I'm just telling you like it is. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to. But I can tell you right now, that ain't going to do you no good. Because I tell you, I'm ready for you. You know, some people try to give you an ugly look, think that's going to back you down. Eyes rolling all back in here. If anything, that makes me get more. Anyway, all right, so let's look at this. That's why the blessing was on Adam, because the blessing was designed to replenish the earth. Replenish means to perpetually renew and supply. See, the earth, by reason of the curse, was going to be worn. But when the blessing comes in, it renews it. So the blessing can take on you, can go to a ruined place and turn it into a garden. That's the power. The blessing is the same power God used to create the world. He passed it on to Adam. You remember what I said? God said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. You got it? Be. Remember that be? Light be. Jesus said, be healed. You got it? I'm saying he wasn't communicating. He was passing power. He wasn't communicating, folks. That's what he was doing. So now, where was I? Praise God. Okay, so here's Jacob. Smartness of Egypt was not smart enough. I don't care how many Harvard degrees he had and so forth. It wasn't enough to avoid what's coming. He couldn't do it because what's coming had to be solved on another level. The church is coming into vogue. We're coming into our time. Our season. I'm just trying to get you ready for it. See, all this potential is in you. But you got to put some demand on it to get it out. Potential takes demand, folks. That's why you go to class in school or high school or college. Their job is to put a demand on it so what's in you will come out. Education means to draw out. That's what they do. Well, that course is hard. It's supposed to be hard. Because you can do much more than that course. You're just lazy and don't know it. I'm not talking to you now. I know that's not that good for you. That's cool. But we don't run from problems as a church. We run to the giants. Say amen to that. Do you know you have enough? Lord have mercy. Yeah, amen. I'm trying to preach this too fast here. Potential is in you. Enough potential is in you. There is genius in you. Let me come over here. There is genius in you. Now, don't look at yourself. Don't look, well, I was born across the track. We always born across somebody's track. Well, my family was dysfunctional. We all came from a dysfunctional family. We all came from the devil. That was his family we were in. So don't be pulling that on me. You got a new mind now. What you have to do is receive it by faith. Remember the man who was a demoniac and Jesus went over to the other side and here was this demon possessed man, and he was cutting himself and running around naked and hollering all over the place and everything. When he saw Jesus, notice he bowed down and so forth and asked Jesus, the demon speaking out of him, don't throw us out of this country. And notice Jesus cast the demons out of him. And then the man was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. Watch this. Clothed. And in his what? Right mind. Righteous mind. He had gone back to the garden. Folks, God is the only wise God. That's in the book of Jude. How can the only wise God have only dumb kids? That does not make sense. Folks, you even breed horses. All right. That's all I'm going to say about that. See, you got to let your faith take over. You got to stop seeing this the way the world programmed you to see it. Because you just think he just turned, you know, well, he got his mind back. No, my friends. God never restores anything to where it was before. He always takes it to a higher level. When you have a car and you want a restoration on that car, one of the first things you do is try to get it so it looked like it did before. Not God. He gave Job twice as much as he had before. Whatever God restores, he stores to a higher level. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Okay, so what's happening? Jacob was up there, and he sent his boys down there to get some food. But what I'm trying to tell you is they got food for 1 year. They got food for 1 year. They had wagons galore. And what happened was the people spotted him and knew this was somebody coming with a lot of money. They knew that. These wagons got to be loaded to take food back for a year. See, all that, Jacob wasn't planting and growing because you know he wasn't because it was dry up there and he kept sending down for food. If he could grow his own food, he wouldn't have to send anymore. Now, why was he doing that when the blessing was on him? Why was it different on Joseph and he had food and Jacob didn't have none? He didn't have any because he left faith. Now, y'all listen to me. Y'all going to listen to me?
Yeah.
Folks, we've got the goods here. I'm giving you stuff right now that if you listen to me, you'll get your righteous mind back. And I'm telling, don't think you've been on dope or whatever and, you know, well, my mind was blown because of that cocaine. Hey, we can straighten it out. God, touch that head of yours one time, that big old head, and hit it just like that. Boy, you can think for a change. Say amen to that. Stop looking back. Start looking ahead. Start looking at what God has done for you. Folks, we're dealing with the Almighty here. We're talking about the supernatural. My point to you is Jacob should have been growing his own. It didn't make any difference about the famine. Notice Isaac's life. Isaac planted in a time of famine and received how much? 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Can you imagine putting seed in the ground and it's dry? I mean, water hasn't hit it in 6 years and plants grow up. No, you're looking at me strange. You got Genesis 47, right?
Yeah.
Put something right there and turn with me to Numbers and Numbers chapter 16. Now, what am I doing? I'm teaching supernatural. Because for you to have results of the supernatural, you're going to have to hear the supernatural. You are not designed to live naturally. You're designed to get out of debt overnight. Come on, help me. You're designed to get that thing healed in your body just like that. Say amen to that. Look what it says in, what did I tell you to turn? Number 16. Let me take my time here. I'm going to finish on time. I got 10 minutes, 27 seconds left. I'm going to finish on time, but just be cool. I can feel it in the spirit when you rush it. I can feel it, you know, because I'm in the spirit. And I can feel a rush. And it makes me go hard. All right. Okay. All right. Let's look at this. Look at verse 6. I want to show you now. Now, what did I say? Isaac planted in the time of famine and received a hundredfold harvest. That's what I said, didn't I? All right. What I'm trying to tell you is God goes around the system that's been set up because he doesn't need it. Look at verse 6 of number 6. Now, hold it. Number 17, please. Number 17. Look at verse 6. And Moses spake to the children of Israel, every one of their princes, that's the rulers, gave him a rod. Now it's 12 rulers of 12 tribes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince, one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among the rods, their rods. And Moses laid the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Watch this. And it came to pass that on that tomorrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi, what happened? Budded. Now, wait a minute. Look at me. So I got 12 rods on this table. I go to bed, come back. Look at these rods. Aaron's rod is budded. Now, the rod isn't stuck in soil. The rod is sitting on a table. I'm going to shut you down because you argue with me. Why is it? Aaron, for his house of Levi was budded. The house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds. Watch this. And bloomed. Keep going. Blossoms. And what else? It yielded something you could eat. And it was never stuck in the ground. Don't tell me God can't do something with your mind without you going to school. Lord have mercy. Now, hold it. I don't want to talk against school. Because some of y'all need it bad. And now, no way. But I'm saying, any sense, he can do something. As you're there in that class, they may be getting this, but you're getting something extra from God. Are you following what I'm saying here? How about changing water to wine? Notice what he went around the whole process. The wine takes grapes. Don't they take grapes? Then you got to wait till the grapes come on the vine, which is about 9 years. Then watch this. You've got to then harvest the grapes. Come on now. Then you got to mash the grapes. And then you got to get the wine and then set it up and let it ferment. Am I right about it? And the older it is, the better it is. Something like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all used to know. Now, my point to you is, notice how he went around that whole system. The wine taster tasted it and said, my God, you've saved the best wine till last. Notice Jesus turned water into wine, bypassing planting, growing, harvesting, mashing, fermenting, and all of that. That's the only thing I'm saying to you. All right, can I come back to my point here now? That was 5 minutes right there. All right, let's do this, because this is for you. This is for you. Okay, so Genesis chapter 47. So now here's Jacob. He comes down to Egypt. Now Joseph is down there with a blessing on him, so Egypt's got all the provisions, because everybody's now got to come to Egypt to get food. The reason why is because the blessing is in Egypt on Joseph, not on Pharaoh. It's on Joseph. And wherever you are, no matter what is around you, the blessing can overcome it. The blessing is there to diminish the curse. Got it? In any place you go, and you got to speak blessings. Speak them. You'd be surprised how powerful your words are. Because that anointing that's on you is designed for rough places. It's designed for it, man. All right. Now, look what it says here. Now, look at Genesis chapter 47. Now, I like it when you all let me cool down. You know, some people like you jumping all around, snotting all over the place. And if you could just let me settle down and just teach you for a minute, I can bump you. Y'all ever heard of bump? That's on your cell phone. You can have one thing on one cell phone and bump it, and it'll transfer over. I want to bump you today. I want to just transfer this so we can get it into your life right now, get you going. All right, verse 6. And the land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, have the days of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and years or age of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Now, this is where I gave you the wrong information right here. I said that Isaac lived to be 160 years old. That was not correct. In the scriptures, you will find in Genesis chapter 35, come over there with me. Now you're thinking, that doesn't make much difference. Yes, it does. Verse 28, and the days of Isaac were 104 years. How old is that?
180.
All right, how old did Abraham live? 175. How old did Isaac live? 180. Jacob is 130 and looking like he's about to kick the bucket. He's feeling a little ashamed here. And I said that the reason why he got that way is because he left faith. All right, come back to Genesis chapter 37, please. Genesis chapter 37. Now, chapter 37. Okay. Now look at 37. Now this is when Joseph's brothers went out with him, and they didn't like Joseph because Joseph was a dreamer. I said a big dreamer. And when you dream too big, there are some folk that may not like you. Why? Because the enemy's job is to keep you small. You got it? All right, now look what it says here. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 31. His brothers now. His brothers took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. In other words, isn't this Joseph's coat? And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. And Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. This is what he's saying now. Does he have any visible, any substantiating? No, I don't know whether I can say that. What is he using to gather his assumptions? The evidence that he's seeing physically. I'm telling you, you're in a zone that you can't trust physical evidence. You're going to have to trust the word of God. You're going to have to hear me now. I know I have been places that I have preached in places, and I'm telling you, I'm preaching, and I watched it was a very small place when we started out, and this was in a rough area, and I was watching it as I was preaching, and next thing I know, This guy who apparently was sitting over there, he just looked like he was completely bothered by what I was saying. He was a young guy, maybe about 16, 18 years old or something. And is there something wrong over there? Okay. All right. Amen. All right. Amen. I'm not going to be distracted. I was playing tennis with a tennis pro, and I had him on the ropes. I had him on the ropes. But I had a shot. He gave me a short shot, and all I had to do was right over there, and he was done. But he did something. He saw he had no other weapons, and he saw this was it. This is what he did. And when he stomped his foot, I thought he was running over there, but he wasn't. He was just standing right there, stomping his feet. And it made me miss the whole shot. That's what that is. The enemy tries to distract you. See, he can't win otherwise. Let me finish this. Can I finish this? The way, thank you. I appreciate that. I believe I will. There you go. All right. Now notice what he said in verse 33. And he knew it and said, "Is my son's coat? An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." Nobody told him this. He assumed all of this. Watch this, because the enemy works in suggestion. And Jacob rent his clothes and put a sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his sons many days. Watch this. And all of his sons and And all of his sons and daughters and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning." This his father wept for him. So what did he do? He left faith and got over here. All right. One thing is needful. What is it? The word of God. He should have come back to the covenant, because in the covenant, nothing could take his son. My point to you is, in the covenant, nothing can take yours. This is a covenant that God made with his people, that he is making sure that nothing can hurt them. And he has made this covenant. And notice the book of Job. Come on over there one more time, please. And then I'm going to Psalm 90 and I'll be about done. Job, look at Job real quick. Now, what is the one thing that's needful? The word of God. You can't take physical evidence. You can't take. The enemy will even take a flip chart. If you look like you got something, he'll take a flip chart and do a presentation with you. Well, let's see. Now, these are all suggestions. Well, now, your great-grandmother had this right here. What do you think? Think you got that? No, I don't have that. Okay. All right. Live up. Now, let's see. Your daddy came down with this right here. You think you got? No, I don't. Okay. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what I got. He'll try to work with you until you receive something that's out of line with the word of God. Now, it may be a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is only in the word of God, folks. And the truth is powerful enough to change any facts. Oh, Jesus. Look what the devil said to God concerning Job, verse 9 of chapter 1. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a what about him? Come on. And about his what? House. Keep going. And about, come on. All that he had, come on every side, thou hast what? Blessed the work of his hands. And that blessing is on you to be on your whole household. Say amen to that. Now, what you got to do is see, when I first say that, right away, fear comes in. Well, what if? That's what it comes in. The reason why is because your faith is not secure yet. You don't quite believe that. I got to get down in here and change your subconscious. I got to get down here and work that word down in you where you know in your life, hey, ain't no way the devil can do that to me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's got to be in you, just like it was in the three Hebrews. They were faced with a fiery furnace, and the king said, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. And this is what they said. Yes, king, we don't doubt that you put us in there, but the God that we serve, watch this, he is able to deliver us. Watch this, and he will deliver us. Man, that's going off. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. He will deliver me. And it's possible for you to get there in your thinking. It's possible for you to get to a place where you will never be broke another day in your life. And not only that, say it. Because the thing will try to suggest to you, well, what if? It doesn't make any difference what if. That covenant is more powerful than anything the devil can conjure up. All you got to do is believe God. Nope. This business will prosper. Now, I know right now it doesn't look like it's prospering, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Now, come on over here. Let me show you what gets us in unbelief and pulls down the hedge in our life so that the enemy can come in and do things that he's not legally supposed to do. Come on over to Psalm chapter 90, please. 90. Are you all with me?
Yeah.
We're going to make the devil cough your stuff up. See, you can't be afraid. Get the fear out. You can't be afraid to say things. I'm telling you, when my wife and I were staying with Sister Beverly, we were trying to get out and get our own place. And let me tell you, it's when we first started the ministry here. And I'm telling you, every time we save a little money, the car break down, $550 to get that fixed. Well, we were just, I'm telling you, she and I were just getting frustrated. Well, what do we need? One thing is needful. What is it? The word of God. Well, what happened then? God spoke to me. I backed off, went on a 3-day fast. Just why? Not to move God, but to move me out of the way. So I could hear the God that's trying to speak to me. Because he said over in 1 Corinthians, I'm pointing at you upstairs, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he says this. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there has no temptation, test, or trial taken you, but such is common to man. Common means, that's what it means. It means you're going to see it in the natural realm. But God is what?
Faithful.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that you are able, but will with, underline will with every temptation, he'll also make a way to escape. So every time the devil's trying you, God has already opened the door. You've got to find the door. The enemy's job is to block the door. His job is to distract you or cause you to look some other way, and your door is right here. You don't have to spend years going through that mess. Lift up, look up,
find a door and get out of there.
God said to me, declare what you want. I said, we'll be out of here in 7 days. I said it out loud. My wife came, I said, baby, we'll be out of here in 7 days. Now, she wasn't with the Lord as I was with the Lord in this thing. She said, where are we going? I said, I don't know. We'll be out of here in 7 days. The next day, I said, well, baby, we got 6 days to go. Where are we going, sweetheart? I said, I don't know, baby, but we'll be out of here in 6 days. Come on now. You got fifth day came down. I said, baby, thank God we got 5 days to go. Where are we going, sweetheart? Now tell me where we going. I said, baby, I don't know, but we'll be out of here in 5 days. I had to hold fast. Miracles start happening. Woo, doors start opening. It's the door of faith. Praise God. Now, let me just say this. So, Psalm 90. Let's look at that. All right? Put the scripture up that I put up this morning, please. Verse 9. For all of our days are passed away in the wrath, in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Next verse. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. How old is 80 years?
80 years old.
Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now, most people think that means that God has guaranteed you 80 years. 70 years or 80 if you don't stay out too late at night. Okay, I'm just throwing that in there. Okay. So, that's what they preach, even preachers. But take heed what you hear. Because what you hear and you believe, that's where you're going to end up. So people think they die at 80. All of a sudden, their subconscious mind begins to tell their systems inside as they approach that start shutting down. Start shutting down. Here comes everything coming up. Because that's what they believe. Well, that ain't nothing but middle age.
That's right.
All right, I got to come over here. See y'all there. I'm telling you right now, that, put it up there in the Amplified, please. Put it up there, verse 10, verse 10. Okay, look what it says. For all our days out here in this wilderness, says Moses, passed away in your wrath. We spent our years as a tale that is told, for we adults know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan. Look, put up verse 10. And the days of our years are 70 years and 10, 70 years, or even if by reason of strength, 80 years, 80 years, yet is their pride in additional years, only labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone away and we fly away. Let me give you the bottom line translation. That was for a disobedient bunch of people in the wilderness who wouldn't follow God. That has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Are you with me here? Now, last part. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I've kept you a long time. I certainly didn't mean to keep you this long. All right. In Genesis, can you put it up there, Galatians, please? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Just throw it up there real quick. Galatians 5, 22. Throw it up there. Look what it says here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Keep going. Joy. Keep going. Peace. Come on. Also, all right, stop right there. Now, here's the deal. The world is looking for the garden. And the garden is in you. And as you are developed in these fruit, then the fruit come out spiritually And without knowing it, the world partakes of that eternal life. And they're drawn into the kingdom. Now, let's just take one, for example. Let's take joy. Put it up there, please. Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Weight and the what? Sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what? Patience, the race that is set before us. Watch this. Looking unto who? Jesus, the who? Author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, wait a minute, let me read it again. Who for the joy, let me read it again. Who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. Keep going. Despising the shame. Keep going. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus on the cross had joy.
Amen.
I didn't say happiness. Happiness comes from being happy off of something that happened. It's called happiness. But joy comes from you knowing the Word of God and trusting that Word, that even in your worst situation, you know the outcome. Now you got joy. In the middle of your trial, because you've known Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God's going to deliver us out of them all. So he had joy in the midst of that. And you need that because you need the fruit to keep coming forth so that people can partake of it and come into the kingdom right in the midst of the trial that they're going through. Put James up there, James chapter 1, please. Hello. You see some people and they look sad all the time and mad all the time and they don't have anything good to say. That's because they can't see anything. They need to get the Word of God and put that first place. And you got the Word, you know how you're going to come out. Folks, I'm going through something right now, but guess what? I'm full of joy. I know how it's going to come out because God's Word won't fail. He says, I'm always going to be a conqueror. He didn't say win a few, lose a few, did he say that? That came from the world. I'm not walking according to the world. I'm walking according to my God. Look what it says up here, James chapter 1. And a servant and of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Next verse. My brethren, count it all joy. Keep going. When you fall into diverse temptations, tests, or trial. So here is the Apostle Paul in Philippian jail. He had just been beat. Silas had been beat. They're in the jail, and at midnight, they prayed and then gave praises to God. And all of a sudden, the jail shook, and all the people was loosed, and Paul and Silas got the jailer safe. What am I telling you right now? I'm telling you, no more dropping your head.
Hallelujah.
Come on, no more. I don't care what situation you're in right now. Think about it. I don't care what it is. God is bringing you out. Man, boy, you got to get that. I don't care how bad it looks. God is bringing you out. You say, what if it's 9 innings and I haven't won yet? Don't play 9 innings because you're going to play till you win. You stand right there. If you are suffering to be ashamed or embarrassed, whatever it is, God says, wait a minute, I got you covered. It may look bad right now, but I will restore to you the years. I'm talking to somebody over here right now. You going through
something. I got news for you. You are coming out. Now you keep your joy. You smile at people. You compliment people. You tell people how nice they look. Can you help them do this? Don't lose your joy, and Satan can't steal your goods. Boy, this is it. I said, this is it. Sit down. All peace. All peace. Come on, it's in you. It's in you. Don't lose your peace. Don't lose your peace. See, don't even raise your voice. Just tell them, say, I used to fuss. I used to get up to the top of my voice fussing at you. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I love you and everything going to be all right. You ain't going to get this here. You may as well give me my stuff right now because you ain't going to get it. Say amen. Amen. Folks, living supernatural. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the best thing. Martha, you're busy, anxious about things, and trouble about everything. Check Mary out. She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because everything's going to be all right. Give the Lord a praise for it. We got the devil where we want him now. He is on the